this chapter tells us of some of the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus. Works of healing. The chapter begins with the story of Jesus travelling into the country of the Gerasenes, where he is approached by a man who is possessed by demons. And he performs this tremendous miracle in delivering the man from the demon. He did that miracle among the Gentiles. The country of the Gerasenes was outside of Israel. It was therefore among the Gentiles, among those who were foreigners to the covenant of grace, foreigners to the promises of God. Yet Jesus is not restricted by these borders, whether they be national borders or religious borders. Jesus' power is not confined. And that's demonstrated to us in a powerful way with the story of the man delivered with that demon. Returning across the lake, he is approached by a ruler of a synagogue, as we were reading. A man who approaches Jesus regarding his daughter, come and lay hands on her so that she may be made well and live. The girl is close to death and in a precarious situation. Her father is worried that she is not going to make it through this illness that she has. We then read of the Lord Jesus raising her up at the end of the chapter. While he is on his way, we learn of another healing that Jesus does on the way. Jesus, on his way to healing one, heals another. That's what the Lord Jesus does. He heals as a goal for his mission to heal us, to save us, and as he is on this mission, he saves more people as well, as we read of this woman who was healed. We learn of this further healing. So in the course of a chapter, we learn of Jesus healing a man from demon possession, healing a woman from a long-term, seemingly incurable condition. And we also read of Jesus healing from death, demon possession, incurable condition, and death. Here we are reading of the power of Christ. And it's the power of Christ that we are to come to know for ourselves. Let us say, we can see then that as Jesus is healing one with demon possession, healing one with an incurable condition, and even healing one from death. What do we say? What can we say of Jesus' power? We must say that his power is without limit to heal. No condition at all is outside of his power, as we read here, demon possession, incurable condition, and death. He is not limited by borders, national or religious borders either. He is not contained within earthly institutions. The Lord Jesus is able to work his great power and does work his great power wherever he should choose and wherever the Lord pleases. We want to observe then the limitless power of Christ. And while at a time when we are glad that there is medicine, and where especially at the moment there is the rollout of a vaccine, we are aware that there are limited supplies at this time. There's limited supplies, there's limited amounts to go around. However, when we come to the Gospels of Jesus Christ, we come to learn that here is one who is without limit in his power, without limits in his capacity, that there is no quota, and there is no amount either, no certain amount by which he is bound. There is no, it's not the case with Jesus that one should come to Jesus and ask for help and Jesus say, I've run out of what I have to help you. There is no situation like that at all for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not limited as we are limited. And even with the enormous efforts and wealth and powers that go into medicine, these powers do not compare with the power that belongs to Christ. Glad we are for them. But Christ is greater still. There is no limit. Whoever, he says, comes to me shall find salvation for their souls. He makes that offer to all and to every person. And there is no point at which Jesus would say, I have seen enough people, or I do not have more for you. He is without these limits. Secondly, in the passage, I want to observe the order in which things take place, the order in which people are healed. See, first of all, in the passage, it tells us of people coming to Christ, and then they are healed by Christ. An aspect that is consistent with each of these stories is that the person or a representative of the person approaches Jesus, comes to Jesus. There's an order that is present here in the text. The coming to Jesus, then the healing that comes from Jesus. Isn't it often the case, however, we may even find this within our own selves, that too often this is the case, that healing is desired from Jesus without approaching him. We want Jesus to work his powers. We hear of his powers to do all things, as he demonstrates here that he has power over all nature and all human conditions. But too often the case that healing is desired, or something is desired from Jesus without there being a desire to approach him, a desire to follow him. And it's something we want to observe with these passages, that in each case here where the people were helped and healed by the Lord Jesus, they come to him. Wouldn't you find that to be the case if you've not already? That you shall find Jesus to be your help. It may be that he helps you in a way that you do not expect, or even in a way that you don't understand. But will Jesus turn you away if you approach him and ask him for his help and ask him for his salvation? Will he turn you away from him? No, the gospel tells us repeatedly of people who are helped by the Lord Jesus. They come to the Lord Jesus for help. So we read in chapter 6, verse 56, that when he went back to Gennesaret, he went there And it says the people immediately recognized him when he got out of the boat, and they began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. In chapter 7, verse 31, it tells us there that in the area of Decapolis, they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. He healed the man. They brought the man to him. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, the feeding of the great crowd of 4,000 people. Listen to what Jesus says has happened. I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days. This is a crowd that had come to the Lord Jesus. Chapter 8, verse 22. He came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man. Again, they brought him to Jesus, and he healed him. Another example from chapter 10, verse 46. The blind man Bartimaeus. The blind man was by the side of the road, and Jesus was walking along the road. He cried out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." These instances again and again and again of people coming to Jesus, calling out his name, bringing themselves or others bringing them to Jesus, and Jesus being their help, Jesus healing them, Jesus providing for them. One instance which is different is in John chapter 5, where Jesus heals the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. In that instance, Jesus went to visit the pool, and he knew of the man that he had been lame for so long, and he asked the man if he wanted to be healed. In that instance, Jesus approaches the man. In the majority of cases, there is some kind of motion towards Jesus, whether spending time with him, or approaching him, or someone influencing to approach him, or calling out for him. So we find then that throughout the Gospels, people who are healed by the Lord Jesus first of all approach him. It's so important to remember that, where there is that need, and we have a need for Jesus, to approach him and to approach him and ask him for the help that is needed. Will he turn people away who come to him as they approach him, and as they approach him with sincerity and in faith, asking him for healing? Having heard the reports of him, they ask him for healing. And they come expectantly to Jesus. They come with the hope that he will heal them, and they are healed. That was the case with the woman that we read of here in this section of chapter 5. She approaches the Lord Jesus, and she is healed. The story of a woman coming to Jesus in faith. It's an important story for us for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because it tells us about how Jesus healed people and how he heals people, how he helps people, how he is our Saviour. Verse 30. Once a woman had gone up to Jesus and touched his garment, Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him. Isn't it so interesting, Ben, what Jesus says afterwards when the woman admits that she was the one who had touched Jesus? He then goes to say to her that your faith has made you well. Which is it? Is it that Jesus' power has made her well, or is it that her faith has made her well? The answer is both. The answer is primarily in that it's Jesus' power. Had she approached anyone else, she had been approaching others and they'd not been able to help her. In fact, her condition had got worse. But she approached Jesus and he healed her with his power. Yet at the same time, it's true that Jesus can say her faith has healed her. For had she not approached Jesus, she would have been in the same condition as before. It's the power of the Lord Jesus that heals her. Yet her faith can also be described as being an instrument of her healing as well. Why? Because it is faith which is a gift of God's grace. Faith that joins her to her Saviour. Faith that joins her to her Saviour such that this woman who had suffered and heard of Jesus would then approach him in faith, approaching in hope that the Lord Jesus would heal her. The power of healing belongs to Jesus. It's a remarkable story as well, in that this power of healing should be drawn from Jesus apparently without him cognitive of who had done this, or even not a mention of what exactly had taken place, other than what he says that he perceived in himself that power had gone out from him. Now, there's some questions maybe that we could try to answer here. How was the woman healed without Jesus being fully aware of what had happened? And this, the answer to this, it seems to me, is found in the relationship that God forms with us to his Son, Jesus Christ, through faith. The relationship that is formed is a union to Christ, a union with Jesus Christ. And in this union with Christ, there is the gift of faith given to us as we are born again, granted faith, and a conjoining of this faith with Christ's power. So that the power is Christ's power, and the instrument by which that power is laid hold of is faith. Faith which is not anything in itself other than this free gift of God to us. And it is that connection through which Christ's power is given for her healing. This is what also Jesus is speaking about when he can say to her, your faith has made you well. That Jesus can say that what belongs to him, which is the power to heal and to help her, he can then say and speak of what has happened as the cause has belonged to her. Her faith. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well because we are united. We are joined together. What is yours is mine. What is mine is yours. This is what Jesus is saying. And so, on the one hand, the power of the healing is Christ's. And on the other hand, Jesus can say, your faith has made you well. Now, what was it especially about her faith that we see in this passage that then led to her being healed? It was this. It was the exercise of her faith. She said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. This is faith in action. You see the faith, the belief that the Lord Jesus can heal her, and the action in I must put my hand on his cloak. Now, this is a little unusual as well. There are not other instances like this, apart from some later in the New Testament when the apostles are performing miracles and people are being healed in their ministry as well. This one instance of a woman who touches the cloak of the Saviour and she is healed. What do we learn? Well, here God is accommodating the healing to her faith and action. Her thoughts are unusual in that I must touch his cloak, and if I do that, I will be made well. Yet here, the grace of God, he is pleased to accommodate himself to his children. Through Christ, we have a merciful Father. You see, the Lord is pleased to heal her according to her faith that he has given to her, worked out in this unusual way of if I touch his cloak. And it is a remarkable work of a Lord to heal what nobody else could heal. And indeed, the story is more meaningful than maybe what we first realize, for we are thrilled when we read of the woman who has been healed from a medical condition. However, for her, her condition had broader implications for her life than simply a medical condition. Her condition, according to the Old Testament law, meant that she was a social outcast, unfit for marriage, and unfit to participate in religious life. Through this healing of the Lord Jesus, all of that changes. So whether one is fit for religious and social life, or whether one is unfit, Jesus is a great Saviour. Another question. I cannot touch Jesus' cloak. What then? Again, the power was accommodated to the woman's faith. The story isn't one which is teaching us a specific action for healing. That is to say, you must physically touch the cloak of the Lord Jesus. What it does, however, teach us is healing, his healing power granted through faith. You may not be able to touch him with your hand, but the Bible says to us he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Furthermore, even where there are, and we recognize this from the teaching of the scriptures, that this is an instance of God showing forth his kingdom. He is teaching us of the kingdom of God. This is what he's been speaking about in chapter 4. With what shall we compare the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus is is showing powerful demonstrations here of the kingdom of God. They are given for that purpose. We're not to kind of understand that what we have here is a recipe for healing from whatever ailment or disease that we might have. However, he has promised that he shall heal from those ailments and diseases. Come to him in faith. Revelation 21, verse 4, come to him expectantly. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Indeed, with the Lord Jesus being in his glory today, it means that this power of Christ, this power to save, this power to help, is available to us all, wherever we are, at this very moment in time. We do not need to travel to a particular place in the world in order to meet him. He is not far from any of us. He is at the door. The judge is at the door, as we learned last week in James and in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Although Jesus cannot be seen physically to us or approached physically by us, I can't travel to visit him. It is for our advantage that he is in heaven, because there he is accessible to us all. And anyone may approach him. He calls everyone to approach him. He asks that everyone approach him for faith and life. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy meat, come buy wine, milk, without money, without price. So then, what shall you find in Jesus? He is, as we were reading earlier, a refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. In him is the power of life, forgiveness. He holds the keys of death. Further, he brings you into fellowship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so your soul is an eternal and blessed place of rest. With these thoughts then, we turn to the Lord in prayer, and tonight as